What was his name again? The Watcher, the Guardian, or whatever his.
Oh, what I think it was the
Guardian. Bruce Willis.
No, but like his in
Bruce Willis.
In movie. Did he have a name? Did they call?
Ironically, him Bruce Willis also doesn't remember that now.
Bang bang.
In some sort of. But
welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are there.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype Attack.
I am the hype!
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hype Attack Podcast. I am Rudy, joined as always by Jermaine, Doug, and Isaac.
That's for last.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
This is the opening of season 3, the first episode.
We made it.
3 seasons.
You can tell.
20 plus episodes.
I had more hair at the start of the other seasons.
More hair or more forehead?
You're not losing hair, you're growing head.
I'll allow it. I had to think about that one. It's like word math.
If on my mind was a thing.
He said nothing. He walked in like half an hour ago, said nothing. It's the first thing he fucking says.
You keep it in cock lock and ready to roll. I love it. So when we started brainstorming episodes for this new season, mm-hmm. Doug shout out trilogies. I'm like, cool, we'll do that one. And we all agreed. And then I had a weird out of body experience. So I'm like, did you say trilogies? Because it's the third season of the Hype Attack. And I went and asked him, and he's like, yeah.
I didn't think about that.
We totally had like a high five. so corny, but so just, I love it. I love the happiness that I got out of that.
Adorable.
But so today's episode will be about trilogies. Your favorite trilogies, not so favorite trilogies, the ones that just couldn't stick the damn landing.
Mm.
We got a couple of asterisks on my list. Like some shit that should have just been one movie and that was it.
Matrix?
Fighting words. Shit.
Boy.
But I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with that. Like that shit was on a downward plane for me. that downward dog yoga style for me. Anyway, trilogies.
I know downward dog.
How do you guys want to start? Is you going to start off with your favorite, the obvious ones, and then we'll get into some meatier ones, or?
Yeah, go obvious. Go ahead.
I mean, of course, Star Wars.
Of course.
Lord of the Rings.
Those are the top two, and those kind of, they don't jump back and forth, but they're like neck and neck as my favorite, like, of all time.
I think that's like the ultimate nerd question, right? I mean, Kevin Smith even addressed that question in Clerks 2, I believe, right?
Yeah. There's only one return, and it's not of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those are the two obvious ones. If you guys were to pick a third best favorite obvious nerd trilogy movie, what would you go with?
Mine is probably like a... because the obvious ones, I'm not with those two off my list. They're good movies, but not on my list.
Bring in the humility.
Batman Begins still the best movie out of them. But
I'm gonna stab you.
I'm a fan of the scrotum. Of he's not really a very loved director, but M. Night's.
That's a great pull,
man.
Yeah, I have that down here.
That series with the
Unbreakables. Would it be the Unbreakables that you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Unbreakable, but
Glass.
What was his name again? Split. The Watcher, the Guardian, or whatever his.
Oh, what I think it was the
Guardian. Bruce Willis.
Bruce
Willis.
Did he have a name? Did they call him
Ironically, Bruce Willis also doesn't remember that now.
Bang, bang.
in Sunset Hill. But yeah,
that's going on a fucking button. Thank you.
Yeah.
Unbreakable, Split, and Glass. Yeah. Like, those are probably my favorite movies out of his entire catalog. Because when Split came out, the ending to me was still a shocker.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for that. And then, of course, when Glass came out, like, it just made everything just that full circle. But it was a...
Ultimately, how'd you feel about Mr. Glass? That movie.
Oh, no, Glass. I liked the last...
Yeah, I didn't hate it. It just... there's something about it, like, it fell a little flat. It's been a while since I've seen it, but there's just old feelings.
It's... To me, it's... I don't want to use that phrase, that grounded, you know, it's a superhero movie. Mm. But it's just one of those movies. It's not the Marvel recipe. Sure. It's not the DC recipe. So it's not going to be like a grandiose, like Glass isn't like a, you know, like a Lex Luthor or somebody like that, you know, who's going to try to pull off this, you know, this amazing scheme. So for what he did in the movie... Like, I just really love that entire trilogy. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down, it was one of my favorite, like, non-mainstream, like, superhero movies of all time.
I think that's also probably going to be one of my biggest, like, media regrets is, like, I didn't see Split in time before the ending was spoiled. Because that was not advertised as part of that trilogy at all. Exactly. Or there was no trilogy or anything like that.
Exactly.
And I don't know if it's ever been done or if it's been done since, the idea of some like semi-random movie, mm-hmm. the Ooh. Surprise being it links to a previous movie. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. I still haven't. I think I watched a bit of Glass. I still haven't watched Split. Like, I think I'm just so mad that I missed out on like a great little reveal surprise that it's hard for me to go back. Maybe someday.
Do you still remember the feeling you guys got at the end of The Incredible Hulk?
What? No.
The after credit scene. With like Iron Man.
Oh.
And Ross. And you're like, whoa, bigger universe. And then the after credit with Fury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first one was
absolutely don't Iron remember.
Man, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think they had already talked about it a little bit. And then, yeah, the after credit was Fury showing up and like, oh, we have a team.
Because remember, at this point, a shared universe like that wasn't, as I'm concerned, wasn't like that big, mm-hmm. or they didn't do it. Everyone had their own separate properties in the world.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. I mean, I felt like the first few after credit scenes was that Nick Fury showing up or whatever. And I used to just always make the joke anytime I watched anything. It's like, hold on. We got to stay for the credits. Nick Fury's going to show up and ask him to join. That's a good one. You mentioned Batman Begins. I would say like the Dark Knight trilogy. Mm-hmm. The Christopher Nolan Batman stuff has, I would say, has gotten itself up there as probably one of the top three, at least there. in the nerd trilogy realm. I would say that's.
Like, up I there. Think that's up there with Lord of the Rings. And,
yeah, that would be my top three for nerd trilogies.
What also did something to superheroes in cinema, you know, it got taken a little more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they brought in Christopher fucking Nolan.
Yeah, did he not go to film school? I thought I read something recently that
I don't know.
He didn't.
I'll ask him next time.
I heard it was an article or whatever that he said that he couldn't.
In our post.
That he didn't get accepted or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so something like that into film school.
Fucking film schools like UCLA takes like 15 fucking transfers. I tried to transfer to UCLA for film school. They're like, they only take 15. I was like, not going to happen.
So other than those top obvious ones, what is that one then? The Glass Unbreakable trilogy, that like you're probably sitting at the top of like favorite?
That's one of them. The new Planet of the Apes series.
Totally.
Are they on to 4 though now?
I think so. I know. I was running into that a lot.
They
disqualified.
They rebooted it. But they're adding to the chapter, but the first three are
you're right.
Closed ended story.
This very well might be a new trilogy. So
yeah. But there are remnants of what Caesar and you know the apes created in the new movie.
Yeah.
But that new Planet of the Apes trilogy was a doozy of a run.
And they did a good job with each movie because they kind of spaced out their timeline or mm-hmm. whatever a little mm-hmm. bit. Like mm-hmm. they felt different.
Yeah.
But same.
Yeah.
I will say, and I think
we... And he's in the first one, right? So there we go.
Nice.
It all connects.
it's all cohesive. And I think we said as much when we covered it. We did a little review on it, Planet of the Apes, that they're great. I remember watching them and being like, that's fucking amazing. But it suffers that thing of like, do you remember the plot? Do you remember a lot about, could you, you know what I mean? Like if we were to talk about like Back to the Future or The Matrix or Batman Begins, or, you know, that trilogy, mm-hmm. I can't really tell you the details of the storyline for any of the three and then the fourth movie. I don't know if that means anything, but I just...
Probably good monkey need to do something against bad monkey. Bad monkey strong, good monkey strong.
That
I feel like you're making fun of me. New,
hype strong together.
The new era of like movies. It's
pull it up.
It's because you watch Back to the Future 50 million times.
Very true. Yeah.
And with this new wave of movies, unless it's, you know, a franchise or a series that you honestly love. How many times are you really going to go back and watch?
Point. Yeah, what happened in Thor the Dark World?
Excellent point. Someone tried to turn off the lights and then he didn't let them.
Night Elves.
But it was more so that the outbreak of the disease, and you know, which made the apes smarter, and then it just gradually went into their survival against, you know, the humans. Like every chapter was just, you know, Caesar and his crew just mm-hmm. trying to survive some human, you know, menace.
Go ahead.
I have a couple of trilogies on here that are embarrassing, and that's one of them because embarrassing to me because I barely watched the first one. Mm-hmm. I've never watched the second.
Is it any of them? Aspangers 1, 2, and 3.
Like I have no idea what you're talking about.
They're absolutely worth a watch. Absolutely worth a watch. And I would rewatch. Like if I still lived in the world of cable and I was flipping through the channels and it was, I'd absolutely stop and watch any of them mm-hmm. for sure.
Oh yeah, like if it would exactly. I would.
What's the term? The remote dropper.
Yeah, the remote dropper. Yeah, like if you were scrolling and you just, you know, saw something, you know, you just set it down. But it's definitely worth a watch. It's still, it's those type of movies that for me, they have gravity for me because of just the way that the movie is. Like, it's not the typical, you know, like superhero movie. And it's not too kind of like heavy into the sci-fi aspect. It's almost one of those movies that you can watch to kind of get away from all that type of stuff. Like if you wanted to, you know, you have that avenue. That's why for me, you know, the Unbreakable, it's just different. Like it's just a different vibe. It's just a different feel. And it just...
And I mean, I would argue that the not the first one, but the second two, and then the new trilogy or whatever mm-hmm. they're working on, mm-hmm. They're post-apocalyptic.
Yeah.
So you kind of got that vibe, like it's that which too. Which makes it fun to look at, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. oh, the world's, you know, the humanity's been abandoned, so the cities are overgrown and everything like that. It has a lot, and for a property that could have easily just relied on like, hey, look how good our effects are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't. I mean, the effects are amazing, but they didn't lean on that. They didn't rely on that being the only selling point. They relied on, like, we're going to tell a story. It's not going to be anything too hardcore, but it's going to be enough to follow along. You're going to be into it. The characters are going to be people that you care about or apes that you care about.
And if you, exactly, like if you like the characters, you know, from a certain franchise, but ever since the first movie, Caesar, I latched onto his back like, yo, I was like, let's go. Like, it's just one of those, like, hot. where he went, I was gonna ride with Caesar all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's where I was a little apprehensive coming into like the fourth one, the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, mm-hmm. Double Thud, as you said, is because we all fell in love mm-hmm. with Caesar, and he was mm-hmm. so strongly played by Andy Serkis that like, is the new cast gonna be able to hold that together? And they all cared about their roles, and I think they executed it pretty well.
Yeah.
Was there a whole new actor for the leading ape in the last one?
Hmm. Yeah, like
was this Andy Serkis doing the
slightly different voice?
I'm descendant.
Oh damn, what's his name?
Many years passed, many moons.
And what's her name from The Witcher was in it? I just remember like halfway through the movie, we're like, that's where I've seen her before. That's not what I normally sound like. it takes so much of me to run this voice for this podcast.
A few more.
Yeah. I'm sure.
While you're looking that up, speaking of the post-apocalyptic scene, how did I not know Mad Max was a trilogy?
The original Road Warrior, Mad Max, Thunderdome?
I haven't seen it.
I always thought it was just the Road Warrior and Thunderdome. And I'm looking up trilogies and like Mad Max is on. I'm like, there's a first Mad Max?
What? Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know if I've seen the first Mad Max. I've definitely seen
Road Warrior. Like I put my head down. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Like how did I not know?
No, I can shame myself too. Cause I don't know if I've actually seen the first Mad Max. I've certainly seen Road Warrior. I
used to heavily watch those movies.
I had the greatest story with, so my Uncle Bill, who's like 10 years older than me, he used to live with us at the house, my parents' house. And obviously, because when I was 8, I wasn't living alone. We were at the store together or something. Like we used to go to the rental. Yeah, back in the 80s and the 90s, we had rental stores where we went to pick up VHSs. So we were like at the rental store or something. But then like we remembered that Cinemax or HBO, one of them was going to be playing Road Warrior at a certain time because that's how things worked back in the day. Yeah.
What anyway, is our demographic, by the way?
I don't know. I don't know at this point. Yeah,
it would save a lot of us prefacing everything.
Yeah. So we were like, oh fuck, Road Warrior. Yeah, I didn't say fuck. I was 8. So
fuck.
Bill and I like we run. He had this old VW like Bug, I think at the time. We run into his car. Like we head home, but like. Bill like pulled off, you know, our elementary school, Jordan had that like little like, dirt patch next to it. Mm-hmm. He whips into there real quick and just does donuts in the dirt. Like Road Warrior. I'm loving it. Like my parents never did shit like that. And like, you know, I've never been in a car that I didn't even know that was a thing at that point. Donuts, dirt kicking up. Then we whip out and then head home and watch Road Warrior. Yeah. So that was my cool story.
Oh, did you just snitch on him this time?
Right. Yeah. None of my family watches this.
Tina Turner was in Thunderdome.
Tina Turner was in Thunderdome. Yeah. The dude with like the motorcycle that had like the weird head on the back.
Which is one with a boomerang. Isn't there like a kid with
a boomerang? That might have been Thunderdome. Head. Yeah, no, I think Road Warrior had the kid.
Yeah, these are on my list.
That's cool, though. I feel like trilogy was kind of like the thing that movies aimed for back in the day.
Yeah. Unless you were like a horror film, then it was like, just keep making as many as possible. People are done with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if the movie did good, then it was one of those that they were like, more.
I mean, just last night, we just saw Paddington Goes to Peru.
I've heard those are amazing. Trilogy.
I don't know the direct quote, but like it was referenced, Paddington 2 was referenced in The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, the movie. Did you see that?
No, but I've watched your Instagram story today, and you posted that scene.
Oh yeah, that's the one. Yeah, where it's referencing that. It is the perfect movie. I don't remember it, but I remember just like crying at it, and it was amazing. So I thought, let's go see Paddington in Peru. It's okay. It's a kids' movie. It didn't hold up, you know, to that one when I started to make that review. But yeah, Paddington's worth mentioning. It's a lovely, quaint little movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I was going to say is like, as I was looking up some of like the trilogies, because my mind is slow, obviously, and so I need help looking, I couldn't just pull stuff from my ass, contrary to popular belief, but I mentioned this to you guys before, but like the old boy, the Korean movie, Old Boy, I didn't know was part of a trilogy.
Yeah, there's a third.
Yeah, it's called the Vengeance, Park Chan-wook's Woods?
The Vengeance Trilogy.
Mm-hmm. Anybody seen any of the other ones?
I've seen Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. I think Jermaine was the one that told me to watch that.
And then is it same characters and stuff?
I saw Old Boy first, and I haven't seen Lady Vengeance. But now I think they're three separate stories, but they're by the same director and follow the same themes.
Okay.
Because they're just kind of piggybacking off of like Unbreakable. Like it was nice not knowing that was a trilogy, that was just one that popped out. And then another one that I think is worth mentioning, although this is just because the same actors are in it. But they call it the Cornetto trilogy. It's Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World Ends.
Mm-hmm. Edgar Wright. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it The World Ends? Is it?
At the
I wrote that down.
I thought it was At World's End.
The World's End.
The World's End.
The World's End. I love that movie. At World's End is the one with all the celebrities.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And I would always confuse. Did they come out the same year? I feel like I would always confuse them.
It was close enough to be that. Oh, is that that movie? No, it's not that movie.
I want a night like that. Because The World's End was what? Them just like.
Walk, do a bar crawl?
Yeah, the bar crawl, right? Yeah. I was like, yeah, I need to find a place where there's like seven bars. And.
But then The World Ends. What newer trilogies. Because a lot of media nowadays, like, it suffers from, there's so much stuff coming out, like, we don't have time to then rewatch something. But what newer trilogy, I'm kind of just throwing it out there, do you feel like has any rewatchability to it?
Well, I mean, I don't even know.
Will you sit down and watch the Paddington trilogy again?
Who knows? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much media I would go back and rewatch. You know, I would say Dune is getting a third.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not a trilogy yet, but Dune's getting a third. Like, I could see rewatching those three movies because I like the first two, and I'd rewatch the first two. You know, I was thinking about like the MCU and how, like, you know, there has been three Spider-Mans, there's been three Iron Mans. Mm-hmm. They're not trilogies though. I wouldn't call them trilogies. Spider-Man maybe. Spider-Man has a little bit of
Sam Raimi.
No, that one, yeah, certainly a trilogy. But the Tom Holland Spider-Mans, those three were kind of connected. But then there's also like. Endgame happened in between.
Yeah.
You know, but even then, like, you know, Iron Man 1, 2, 3, like, I don't really consider it a trilogy, even though there's three of them. Thor has had what, four now, but they're just not connected enough. They don't feel like anything I need to rewatch in that order.
Do you, just a random side question. Do you guys miss when it was just like Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, instead of like everything has like a cheeky name to it now?
Oh, nah, I mean, I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't care either way.
I lose track.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why they gave them cheeky names, so you could keep track. Oh,
track. I'm like, no, I need to know if this is part 1, 2, or 3. Why was this that one with that funny name in it?
True. I could see that.
Like, I really did get mad at, like, the Spider-Man always having to have, like, the home part of the... Why? I don't
know. That was the home series. Oh, I was going to say something else.
Sorry. Mind. My brain's all over the place. I'm caffeinated.
Yay, caffeine.
Real quick, I wanted to go back to the like top three trilogies.
Yeah,
I had Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, Indiana Jones, the first three.
Yep.
Fuck yeah,
absolutely.
Those are my fucking grail. My top three. Probably won't be dislodged by any new shit.
Yeah. Anybody see Back to the Future?
No, but I have that on my list too. That would be four for me.
Yeah, fourth easily.
Oh, so where does Dark Knight fall on?
Fifth.
Okay. Good.
My top five.
That's a good
time. And I love Batman. Like, don't get me wrong, those movies are amazing. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But just that the history, the impact that the other movies had, like, don't allow that movie to crack my top three. Like,
is no one gonna give any flowers to the Schumacher Batman trilogy?
Did he do three of them?
No, Burton did two, and then Schumacher did two.
Yeah, I'm about to say.
Don't you hate when your joke gets ruined by facts?
Those movies don't even count. After Keaton, like, it was just a fever dream.
It is a shame that Burton and Keaton couldn't do a third. Because I feel like they could have.
Oh, technically was, right?
They did two. Right.
They were trying. They were trying to do a third one, and then all hell broke loose. And...
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Jesus. Yeah. Didn't Schumacher, like, openly apologize for those movies?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yes, it is.
Oh, but even, like, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man.
That was one that certainly did not land.
It could have been
Spider-Man and Blade. I wanted to put those on my list, but it's always the third movie, man.
Delta landing a plane.
Topical.
Nice.
I put those trilogies on my list with a big old asterisk on it of trilogies that just couldn't nail the landing. The Spider-Man trilogy, Men in Black. Their trilogy was like. Like, the first movie was really good. The second movie was okay. And the third movie was like, I don't even really remember it.
Yeah, it was all right.
That's certainly just one of those ideas that, like, two movies make sense. You do the first one where Will Smith's, like, the new guy. And then you do the second one where
you have the cartoon series. And then...
Yeah.
Love the cartoon series.
Men in Black.
That was an era.
That animation, it was really unique.
The Blade trilogy, like he mentioned. The Alien trilogy.
Yeah.
The first three movies.
That's one. I don't know if there's any other
trilogy. Like, good. Holy shit. And then what is well, this?
And that came out way later. Sorry.
No. That just quickly, like, that's one where the tone also changed. Like, it sort of switched into genres. Mm. Is the.
Between one and two, it switched genres.
Yeah. It went from horror to
but just it like, worked.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely worked, but it was so interesting that it to change genres and still because Cloverfield did that too. And I don't know if it would technically be a trilogy.
Cloverfield, I think I read somewhere like the second Cloverfield was not supposed to be Cloverfield. Like it wasn't never originally planned to be linked, but then they just saw a marketing opportunity to link it.
Really?
Oh, I thought I said something like that.
Oh, I don't believe you.
I had to finish my thought. Hold on, the Terminator, the three Terminator.
Yeah, movies. I was thinking about that too.
It was like one and two, and then
they made like three more after
again.
That.
No,
wasn't a cocaine fever dream.
Wasn't there a reboot in between two and three? Wasn't one of the reboots like a thing? And then they were like, no, we need to go back and do three. Let's look that up. No, I want to say because it wasn't just like one, two, and then three. I'm pretty sure
we cover Terminator a little bit, and I don't remember if the issue was like they use different types of time travel theory, because we covered there's like five different types of time travel, you know, and there's a problem with that when it comes to movies like Back to the Future. I love Back to the Future, but they use different kinds of time travel.
Yeah,
how you affect your own timeline or whatever. There's a branch timeline and then like the same timeline.
And T3 is when they brought on that girl Terminator, right? That was both liquid and mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that suffered from like the same idea. Like, I don't know why writers feel like, okay, look, the first Terminator, he was metal. And then the second one, we one-upped it with liquid. So the third one, we got to one-up it again. It's like sometimes the one-upping isn't necessarily the excitement. Like the liquid thing was just cool. Like it wasn't exciting because it was a one-up. It was fucking cool. They could have gone with like multiple of the, like they could have done a lot of things, but just to like to keep one-upping, just, I don't know.
The problem with that one is, like, do you guys remember the first Terminator? Like, the movies, mm-hmm. like, in the 80s, like, that didn't have, like, a strong emotional through line. Like, part two did this whole narration, like, you know, Sarah Connor, she's narrating it, and you're feeling it through her as you're watching John Connor. And so, like, they, almost like lightning in a bottle, like, they tried something new, and they went with it, and it worked fantastic. And then three came out, and you can't continue to have somebody, well, they tried it. You know, having John Connor narrating it kind of, well, that worked over there. And sometimes just these little pieces, little nuances, they try to copy because it is just lightning in a fucking bottle, you know, which is what happens a lot of times. Why even do trilogies or sequels? Because this was actually supposed to be a standalone movie and fuck, dude, it blew up in the box office. You know, it'd be nice if we kind of rode that momentum and made a part two, three, four.
Yeah. Which is
what I think happens when this subsequent movies don't work.
Yeah, and it's a shame. I mean, obviously, you know, the writers and the creators of these worlds, because when we're talking about nerd stuff, there generally is a world beyond the story that's being told. And unfortunately, you know, if they don't know that they're going to be making more, if it's going to do well or not, they tell a complete little story, and a lot of times it's amazing. But then, yeah, studios come along and say, oh, we want more, and then, I mean, going back to The Matrix, I feel like that's what happened, is they tell this great, tight little story with The mm-hmm. Matrix, and it ended with, like, all right, he's the one. He's, yeah, leather and everything. And then they were like, yeah, we can make more. And so they told more story. But I just remember Matrix hit me hard because it was like they ended that first one with the absolute, like, Neo's the one. He's going to save the day. He flew off. Like, cool. The world's saved. Second one starts like, oh, the one doesn't mean shit.
Yeah. And then for Spider-Man 3, I know Raimi openly apologized for that one because Sony was really getting involved and noting the fuck out of everything.
I feel like the same thing. They were like, let's one-up it. Oh, we had two villains, all the villains, and people want Venom. Throw him in there.
And like
the guy from That 70s Show.
Topher Grace.
Yeah, that did casting. Not work as that. Yeah, as soon as they announced that, I was like, really? Really? And I'm like, I liked him in that show. Let me give him a chance. And then I saw it and I was like,
Were you blowing yourself or were you throwing up?
Trying to swallow myself like a snake. Impressive. The Earl Burroughs.
Impressive. He can do it.
Yeah. Sorry, though, Rudy. We interrupted you. You were going to say something?
No, I don't even remember now. Did you,
I was hoping you looked up the Terminator thing. But.
Oh, Terminator. Terminator, Terminator 2, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, which was that weird one with the alternate John Connor, because what's his name?
Bateman?
Got all...
Or Christian Bale?
No, 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 no. Well, the one with the kid, but it had the chick.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
With, oh, okay, so yeah, three, yeah. So three with, did
Claire Danes.
Yeah. Okay.
And then Terminator Salvation with Christian Bale was the 2009, which was supposed to be a start of a new trilogy of Terminator films, but then that didn't hit like they wanted it to. And then Genesis, which was the reboot, soft reboot of all the events with, what's her name from Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
And then Dark Fate, which I don't remember at all.
That was the cartoon? No, that
no,
was...
I do remember Dark Fate. What's with the Genesis one? Fuck.
Genesis
was what with... chick from Game of Thrones?
The Khaleesi. What's her name?
Oh, shitballs. That's yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, she was Sarah Connor. Emily... That didn't work.
No.
I was going to say Emily Ratajkowski.
How are you drawing a blank on her name? I love her. She's so awesome.
Right.
It's literally Khaleesi. Oh, Amelia
Clark? Amelia Clark.
Amelia Clark.
Yeah.
Noice.
Shit.
Noice.
Four brains equals half of one.
Yeah. Now that I remember her.
It was like a car trying to turn over. Oh,
yeah, I like her.
Real quick, off topic, but you know how we were talking about the universe that was supposed to be in Cloverfield and all the other stuff. It was supposed to be A Quiet Place was originally
gonna that would have fit. That would have really fit. We say that now.
But then they decided to, no, let's do like our own.
That's technically a trilogy at this point too, right?
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now.
That's
a fine trilogy.
It's hard to take like any modern stuff as a trilogy because they're all made with the intent of making as much as they can now.
Yeah.
Right? Ever since Harry Potter did 7 movies or whatever and I feel like they're all kind of just like, yeah, we can keep doing more. Which is good, I guess, if it's a great property, but for the most part it's like, yeah, aim for 3. Aim for 3. The weird one.
What about that one?
Everyone's chasing that Star Wars high.
Yeah.
They want the franchise. They want the
universe. But even Star Wars at least did 3 trilogies. And I think even now they've talking about like, yeah, we want to keep doing trilogy movies. I mean, there's talk about the occasional ones, but I know like Rian Johnson, I think, was offered a trilogy. And who else? Someone else was offered a trilogy for Star Wars, which is, I think, the way to do it.
J.J. Abrams?
Or was it the Russo brothers?
Yeah. I think they were offered a trilogy. Speaking of Star Trek, though.
I'm that Oprah shit.
So
Abrams, you're a trilogy. You're yeah. a trilogy. You're a trilogy.
Star Trek's a weird one, though, because there's been 9 movies. No. 12 movies? But, so, like, the new universe stuff, 2 by Abrams and then 1 by Juan. Again, I wouldn't call it a trilogy. They're totally separate. All the other Star Trek movies, they're all generally separate except for 2, 3, and 4. So that's like the one Star Trek trilogy that we have, which is weird to start at 2 because fuck 1. 2, 3, and 4 were the only 3 that actually kind of had a connected story, where the other Star Trek movies were all just kind of like, here's a Star Trek story, here's a Star Trek story, here's a Star Trek story. That's a great little trilogy. Wrath of Khan is probably the best Star Trek movie there is. But that's where we kind of learned about the Genesis device. The Genesis device went off. Spock died. Sorry, spoiler alert. Star Trek 3 was a search for Spock. It wasn't a great movie, but it was still kind of a continuation of that Genesis idea. And then Star Trek 4 wasn't quite connected to the Genesis story, but they were still on the Klingon ship that they stole. They had to travel back in time to San Francisco in the 1980s and save some humpback whales and bring it back to the future. Which is still probably one of the best Star Trek movies. It's also one of the easiest to like introduce anyone. Like if you want to watch Star Trek, watch this one because they're in the 80s. It's a fish out of water story. It's barely Star Trek. You don't really have to know the characters that much, but if you do, it makes it even funnier. Great movie. But that's a fun little trilogy. Like I would watch those 3 Star Treks over and over.
There are 13 Star Trek movies.
Psh, what a loser.
What did I say? 14?
You start off with 9. You start off with 9. Said 12.
And you got to 12.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, that's right. Nemesis was 10. Wow. So, yeah, there was 10.
Oh, sure. Now he remembers.
10 original.
Oh, now he remembers.
Okay, fuck off. 6 original series cast.
Yes.
Then 7 was a mix of both with Genesis. And then 8 can suck my balls with Insurrection. No. 7 was Generations. 8 was Insurrection.
I'm looking at those right
now. Oh, no. 8 was First Contact. 9 was Insurrection, which can suck my balls. Right. 10 was Nemesis, which I actually liked, but a lot of people hate. And then you get into Abrams Star Trek, and then you get into Abrams Star Trek Into Darkness, right. And then you get into, was it Juan? that did Star Trek Beyond?
I don't know. If, but Jill here just says,
"Yeah,
you've redeemed yourself."
Star Trek 5.
That was really impressive, though.
Star Trek 5 was directed by William Shatner because I think that was an agreement he had to room. Keep doing it because Leonard Nimoy got to direct any.
Put your some. Shit back on. Star Trek time, baby. This.
Yeah.
Old callback.
Yeah, in Star Trek 5, they went after God.
What?
Yeah, they went after God.
What does God need to starship?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great line from Kirk.
What makes a trilogy work? Like, what if they know that they're going to go into it? Because, like, yeah, we said, like, I think you said with Men in Black, like, there or with The Matrix, like, there's this perfect little neatly told story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, writers do what writers do and go, I think we could tell more of this because it's this bigger universe, this bigger world. And sure, maybe you have some good writers to do that. I don't know if I can name anything other than like Back to the Future trilogy where it felt like they'd had the intention of telling like the three stories, like to be continued and to be continued. And
Star Wars. Know. I mean, the original Star Wars.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
The original Star Wars trilogy, yeah. I think, has the recipe down. And I honestly wouldn't care if just every trilogy just used that same recipe. Yeah. The first one with someone getting new, blah, 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 they win. Second one, bad guys win. Mm-hmm. Third one's the comeback. Like, I think if you're going to tell a 3-part story, that's kind of just the way to do it. Introduce, you know, a couple, sprinkle in some new characters here and there, change things up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what's about to do that? The animated Spider-Verse series.
If they ever come out with that third one.
That's that one's simmering.
That's going to be
a push back again.
A little too low for me.
Oh, no, they can push it back as...
But, yeah, but like pushing back to the point where it's like, are they actually going to put it out? Because they keep pushing it back.
If they're smart,
they'll
Sony better put out.
Majority of Spider-Man.
Those fucking animated movies are all that Sony has.
Love those movies. Those are probably considered
renowned.
The best Spider-Man movie, whether it's an animation or. Live action.
And they're fumbling the bag. Like, I don't understand.
They are.
I don't understand.
Animation's hard.
I mean, I understand that.
Yeah.
But, like, okay, pay the animators.
Maybe they don't
want to. And let's get it out.
The 12-year-olds can only get paid so much.
Movie curse.
Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
That third movie
curse. I mean, yeah, I guess there still is a story. I mean, they set up the story, but there's still, like, the details to work out, which.
Yeah, I heard, like, they scrapped it. Not like they're done with it, but they were like looking at like it's just not gonna work and scrap, which is great.
Hey, I would rather them.
Correct, yeah. But then there's like that, like, dude, come on, you guys said it was gonna. You lose a little bit of faith. I personally wouldn't be like fucking. They said this year, I'm still gonna go see it.
Well, I mean, one of the benefits of animation, especially really good animation, is that it will hold up. They could re-release those first two, like. Prior to the third one coming out, like they'll probably still make a bunch of money.
Oh, absolutely.
Because it is going to be such a long, like, gap. Pull it off the streaming, then re-release it in the theaters. They'll make money. We'll pay for it.
Sony's really testing my patience, though, this decade. Thank you.
Yeah. At least, like, don't you talk about Sony.
Official mascot of the Hyperdeck podcast.
That shit show?
Ellie. But yeah, but like all their fucking Spider-Verse villain movies with no Spider-Man, like I don't understand.
I still haven't watched
any of it. I get it. Like I get the monetary financial thing. Like they have to release something or else they lose the rights. But come on, man.
Put some fucking thought into it.
I saw a clip from Craven. I haven't watched the movie, but I saw a clip that I swear I was like, at first I was like, people were laughing at it, or like saying like, this is an actual thing. I'm like, this has got to be AI. Like there's no way this is in the fucking movie. Reading the comments, people were like, yeah, I lost my shit in the theater. I was just like, what?
Yeah, dude.
What? Like that made the cut? Like,
I think I said it before where it's like, just as far as Craven is concerned, is it was just bad for bad's sake, as opposed to like Madame Web was laughably bad and you can enjoy it with people. Craven was just outright bad.
That's such a shame. And the trailers made Craven the one that I was like, I'll go watch this. I didn't, but that's insane. And it's like, it's weird because, not to go off like on a big tangent on this, it's like that something like Craven, I feel like, shouldn't be that hard to do. Which, like, it's a straightforward...
Yeah, so many other people, like, broken it down. It's like, dude, the formula was there for that character, and he just flipped it around. He's like a nature conservationist. He's actually killing the bad guys to help nature. You're like, what are you doing? Not only that, but like the actors that are in it went on to actually star in like really great movies, like Aaron Taylor Johnson, right?
Yeah.
He was then in a Nosferatu, and then the guy who played Rhino was in The Brutalist. And other than Ariana DeBose, who played Calypso. Calypso. She just sucks.
I don't know if that's a character or not, but that just...
It is Calypso, yeah. Name. She's Calypso's just from Twisted Metal. She's just not good. And then, do away with Hollywood. Hollywood, do away with her. Mm-mm. She's no good.
Wow.
But everyone else in there is, like, good... The guy that plays his younger brother was in Gladiator 2 as, like, one of the two Caesars. But it just goes to show you, like, you can have decent or really good actors, and then you put them through the fucking gauntlet with shitty scripts. It's like, dude, generally an actor can only take a script from, like, a C to a B, maybe.
Yeah.
C minus to a B minus, but no more than that. Bad script is a bad script.
But to answer your earlier question about the formulas for a trilogy.
Yeah.
I think I get that, you know, writing it out as a three-part thing seems like it would make the most sense. But I don't think Indiana Jones was written as a cohesive three parts. Right? They did one and, this character landed with the audience. Let's do another one. Oh, let's do another one. That, and those three work. I mean, I don't know what the fuck happened to the last two, but those first three work, and they work really well.
Yeah, and that's the benefit of getting a great character that has like a great setup. Like, here's a cool character. He's an archaeologist that's mostly just trying to be an archaeologist, and then that setup leads him into crazier shit.
I will say one that a trilogy that was supposed to happen, and it breaks my heart because we'll probably never get it, which was the Conan trilogy. Because there was a...
It's very loud.
There was like a third king, like King Conan, Iron Crown, or, you know, something like that. The first movie is a... For me, that shit is a masterpiece of a movie, story-wise, character-wise, villain-wise. I know everybody has like their Star Wars and their Back to the Future and yada, yada, yada. Conan the Barbarian, that shit is my, what's the movie again? Rosebud.
Citizen Kane.
Conan the Barbarian is my fucking Citizen Kane. Like, hands down. I know it's an old school movie. I know it has that vibe, but when you literally sit there and watch the movie, just the way Arnold plays the character, but the way it was written, James Earl Jones, you know, how he played the character, just
own the hell out of that hairdo.
Man, but the ending, like everything with like the Riddle of Steel and just like his, you know, serpent eye, just everything about that movie, masterpiece. And when I say masterpiece, I mean like damn near like Matrix ish, like first movie, masterpiece, brilliant. And then they come out with part two, Conan the Destroyer.
Hmm.
This is when Hollywood is like, oh, I'm going to put my hand in there, because it became a star-studded movie. They were like, they do this with things like when they come out with Ninja Turtles, you know. The pizza wasn't a part of their you know, their culture, their thing. But they were like, we have to put something in here, you know, to sell, you know, to market. So when Conan the Destroyer came out, they had all these stars in there, and it lost that genuine, you know, like heart that the first movie had, and it didn't do so well, you know. But granted, my younger self I liked that movie because it was a guilty pleasure. It was just, you know, this, you know, the Conan story, the high adventure, you know, they're going, you know, to face this wizard, and then he's in the little glass room and he has to fight this monster, you know, and then he's breaking the glass and you find out that the monster is linked to the glass, all that stuff. It had little cool little moments, the horn with the beast at the end. I love when Conan destroys the monster and then his little sidekick guy comes over and fucking stabs him when he's already dead.
And they give him his own like music, like flourish.
Yeah, all that stuff. But, oh man, the fucking music.
I'm gonna add that to the list. Shit.
But,
and Olivia Diablo is the princess in that one.
But,
looking it up,
it just lost the heart that the first movie had. Like, beautiful movie. Then we got part two, and then it just fizzled out. But it was years of talk of, you know, there were supposed to be like an old man Conan movie, because it ends with him in his throne, you know, him, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is it Conan the Conqueror or something?
Yeah, like he finally had his kingdom, but of course, you know, he had, you know, didn't have his girl because his Valeria, I believe that was her name. You know, she was the one who died in the first movie. But yeah, man, it's just been so much talk and rumor about a King Conan Iron Crown with him defending his kingdom as like old man Conan. But
was there not talks of bringing that
back? He would have probably died.
They did the reboot.
They've been talking about bringing him back. Like, that was like a hot, like, oh no, we're gonna do it. Like, it's almost
great. Comics have done it. Like, there's a King Conan comic that is older Conan and stuff
Bro, I was ready for that.
We're in the era of making sequels 30, 40 fucking years after a thing. So,
and still somehow that one's falling through the cracks.
You know? So, what you're saying is there's a chance.
Conan.
I don't know.
So maybe. Conan was one of those characters that I think, yeah, a trilogy would have been perfect, but I also feel like he's one of the few characters that really does. They could have done more than three.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because the original Conan was like a collection of short stories, and each of those stories was a great little moment that could have easily been a movie of like, this is Conan getting, it was essentially like each time was a kind of a quest.
Yeah.
We need you, like sometimes he was a thief. We need to go, need you to go steal this. Sometimes it was a matter of like, oh wait, these people are invading. I like these people. I'm going to defend this castle or, you know.
He's a smart character. Like, he's not, you know, that quote unquote, like brute barbarian that you know, typically, you know, read about or you see in a story. You know, he's well versed in, you know, languages and, you know, fighting styles and all kind of other things, but that first movie.
A hell of a great dancer. That fucking...
I mean, it's unfortunate that like probably a lot of people will just see him as the grunting barbarian and they shouldn't, to your point. You go back and read any of those short stories. Mm-hmm. Like it's shocking that Hollywood hasn't. Yeah. I mean, they tried. But also when Momoa's Conan was like during the 3D phase, it was, oh, we filmed it in 3D, so there's a bunch of stupid, like, everyone put on your glasses.
His pecs are in 3D.
Yeah. There's really no reason that they couldn't just adapt some of those short stories and just pump out Conan movies. It'd be awesome. To that point of a character that has had more than three movies, I would say John Wick. I would love that they're making more and more John Wicks. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that kind of like that would have been a nice, clean little trilogy if they had had a three movie story planned out, him coming out of retirement, him fucking things up, bad guys win or whatever, you know, like they could have told a really clean story. At the end of the day, they've done a great job with all the movies. So I'm not actually complaining, but like if John Wick came out like in like 20, 30 years ago, that probably would have been like tight. Sweet, so tight little trilogy. Yeah,
and then we did get the Continental series. We got that. What was it? ABC?
Peacock?
Yeah, you know me.
The Peacock Continental series?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, one of those.
We absolutely just dated ourselves. Okay.
The Continental didn't work, right?
I haven't even watched it. Oh, I was so excited for it, but I heard it was garbage.
I really
didn't dive into it.
All the bad mouthing that I got, I tried to watch the first couple of episodes and I just couldn't.
Was it the writing bad? The storytelling?
It was just the story didn't hook you. Like, it was just like, what is this?
Did it feel forced?
It's because they kind of approach it at an angle. Like, you don't, it's not the Continental. It's about what's his name? Winston?
Yeah. Winston.
It's more his story, kind of like leading him into that world as opposed to he's already in that world and there's this whole thing. Like they kind of approach it obliquely, and the first two episodes that I watched, I'm like, okay, this is taking too long.
I feel like, not to go off on a John Wick tangent. You know, the first John Wick was awesome because, like, all that extra world stuff was kind of just sprinkled in and allowed us to fill it in ourselves, and we could have our nerd conversations about it. As they've explored more and more of it, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, all right. So then, like, something like Continental, like, I was excited for, but then part of me was also just like, I don't know if I need this backstory. Like, I don't know if I need, like, let me just fill it in, right? It's kind of like how people, like, when Solo, the Star Wars movie, came out, there was a lot of that kind of thing. Just like, I don't know if I need Han Solo's backstory. I mean, I'm sure the books and stuff covered it, but.
And like, excitedly, because, you know, we love content and exploring the world, and we go, oh, it'd be cool, right? We would like to see it. It's like, but the addendum is like, I would like if somebody wrote it fucking well. Because you can't tell these things, but if somebody wrote it well, because I feel like Hollywood is like, you know, shoot first, aim later, you know, where they go, I heard it in an elevator. That's a great idea. It's like, yeah, but have you expanded more on, wouldn't it be cool to have a sequel? He's still alive, still doing his thing. Okay, yeah, but what's the story to tell? Yeah.
Now, that's where someone like Tolkien with Lord of the Rings, I feel like even some of the stuff that was partially mentioned, he probably had a huge backstory for, you know, written. But, yeah, something like John Wick, I'm curious how much they really thought out all that stuff, or they just kind of wrote it for the first one and like, yeah, we don't need to expand on it. Like, it's a thing. And
which it's as far as John Wick is concerned, and this isn't shitting on or anything like that, but it's a pretty simple story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, redemption story, and guys, you know, leading up to him kicking ass, which is great and it's fun and was done very well. If it's in any other trilogy where you are focusing on like the emotional weight of that particular character and the trials and tribulations that they're going through, let's sit with it, you know, like writing a prequel for the Continental and be like, nobody, yeah, you're right. Like, well, again, not that we needed it, because I think
it could have been amazing.
Yeah. Because I think you and I kind of always go like, well, I mean, who needs fucking whatever, right? But it's just, it would be not, because who needs it? But if they do it well, you're like, I needed that. I'm glad that they did that thing. Yeah. When they do it well, if they do it well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know what I said. Exactly what?
I do have...
Ditto.
Two, three. I know Doug mentioned the Turtles. That's one of my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trilogy. That's like a guilty pleasure. Third one, once again.
Yeah, that was one. Certainly one that had like the tonal shifts.
Yeah. But RoboCop, once again, the first one, second one.
Mm-hmm. Tonal shifts, mm-hmm. Again.
That third movie, that shit hurt my heart.
Yeah.
But... I've watched that first movie thousands of times, millions of times, but my true guilty pleasure of a trilogy is the quote unquote like Man with No Name, who's that Clint Eastwood series.
Oh yeah.
Is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, me and my stepdad would just sit there and watch that shit. Like,
is that the Fistful of Dollars, The Man with No Name, and
For a Few More Dollars, like, okay. The Bad, whatever it was called. Yeah.
There's another one, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and some other ones.
Is a Good, Bad, the Ugly not part of that?
Yeah, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly is a part of that.
I came across that one too, but I didn't write
that
down.
I'll have to watch that.
That's a good series. Of course, it's old school, but it's just...
The Spaghetti Western.
Written, you know, well, but it's just one of those movies that if you're not a fan of Westerns and the way that the story is, you know, is told and how it's, you know, laid out and played out, it might not, you know, grab you. But because it was one of those things that I watched when I was younger, so I love it like Conan the Barbarian. But, you know, but that's like up there in my series with a parallel, not really parallel, but the Robert Rodriguez
don't do it, I have it written down,
Desperado series.
Fuck you.
You son of a bitch.
I had that on my list.
I love the shit out of that series.
Because I wanted to ask you if you saw the original.
Yes.
Mariachi?
Yeah.
I have that shit on DVD. Like,
oh, it's got on DVD, bro, so bro, he fucking bro. Knows about
oh,
it.
Oh, we're whipping it out, everybody. Right,
got a fucking DVD.
It is crazy because that first movie was just, you know, just I feel like Robert Rodriguez is like kind of like love letter because he fucking filmed that movie with like one camera to
a fucking VHS
so camera. Many,
like $30.
Yeah. So and many a dream. Angles and, yeah. And like so That's, many shots that he had to film. But he used to draw out like his storyboards and he's one of those directors, writers, you know, whatever you want to say. The way how he draws his storyboard, it's almost comic book-esque. So you can there's a scene in Desperado where they're like they're on top of the burning building and they gotta, you know, run out, but he throws Selma Hayek's character and he's about to jump, but he kind of turns around and almost chain? About to slip, and he like kind of pulls out his gun and like shoots.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Or
oh,
whatever.
Yeah. With Antonio Banderas and his long hair. Jesus Christ.
But it's just one of those things, like, when you see the storyboard for that, you're like, okay, I see how you got that there. But Antonio Banderas, one of my favorite actors of all time. But
he was in Paddington in Peru.
Oh.
Swear to God.
Next, yeah, join us next episode where we
do you break down Antonio Banderas' movies. That,
what's the move?
Spy Kids?
Oh, Spy Kids, all that shit.
God, Desperado's so good.
Desperado is... Man, like the little characters, like even like his homeboys that come in at the end, you know, with their look. Oh man, with their guitar cases
and
And then the third one is where a lot of people kind of fall off.
Once upon a time in Mexico.
Once upon a time, yeah. Like it was okay for what it was, but
it wasn't as action packed as Desperado. Because it's quite some it was years
a little,
after.
A little over the top ish, like way character wise.
Way over the top.
I'll try to be kind.
But it kind of hurt me because of like the way that the second one ended with him rolling off with his girl and all that stuff, and then the third one comes and you're like, oh, she's not even around.
I know.
I was like,
Salma Hayek, by the way, in her but it was fucking prime. She's forever
but it was mainly, prime, but it was mainly because the character was dead inside.
Okay. Like he was. I thought you were talking about Salma Hayek. Inside.
So that's what kind of killed, I guess, the vibe for like a lot of people because he wasn't who he was in, you know, the first two movies. Even though the first one was played by a different actor, you know, then they got more money and then they got, you know, Antonio Banderas. But it's just the fact that, like, it's almost like Obi-Wan, the series. They're like, bro, he's not Obi-Wan. I'm like, yeah, because he's broken. bro, you saw what he did to his, to his brother? He's not going to come back and be, you know, that guy. But that was what Once Upon a Time, L.
Yeah.
Like he...
Means the.
Like he lost his heart.
It means the.
Are you a Mexican or a Mexican?
I'm a fucking Mexican, man.
Oh, that's from a movie? I just thought that was something racist people said.
Damn it. Upstairs,
what's,
people.
What's so fun about that movie is that in the first not one, he just happens upon this, like, you know, this cartel gang situation and, you know, tries to shoot his way out of it. So he's not really, like, a sharpshooter. He's just like, oh, crap, what am I getting into? And then something between the first movie and Desperado is, like, he's now become this like legendary, this legend was built in between the two movies, which is the awesome.
Man with no name, like,
yeah, so good. Sense,
cinematic.
Oh, beauty. Man, the beauty, 90s.
Beauty.
That's the 90s incarnate
beauty.
Right there. Miramax, I think.
I still love that scene where he's in that bathroom. I've probably said this, you know, where he says his prayer.
Oh.
And he's in there, and his face is in the light, and then he like fades the. Into the shadow because he's about to go do, you know, this diabolical thing. Brilliant.
Yeah.
It needs to be studied. No, like I'm dead ass. This is my New York side coming at dead ass. Those are the type of movies that besides Conan, like Desperado, there's a few gems in there that I rewatch strictly for just the way that, like, the love that the director, you know, puts into the movie, the little details, like, all that stuff just makes the movie, like, just breathe different from other.
That's why Robert Rodriguez's movies have that feeling, is because he's the guy that had the fucking, you know, he only spent a couple $100 on the movie, and with just his own camera, like, he had to edit in camera. Because if you know how to do that back in the day, VHS, it's fucking, you need to know your shots and time it. But that's, to that point, is like, guy had nothing, needed the story to be told, and fucking went out and did it. And I love that he's giving, you know, people that are starting a chance on his channel, right?
I think he had something like that. I don't remember what it was. But to also give Robert Rodriguez a little side credit, sprinkle some love on him. But when we were getting Boba Fett.
Oh, yeah.
Robert Rodriguez was the one that directed that, the episode where we got the
reveal.
That's why that shit was so beautiful. Dude. And I was ready for the Boba Fett series. I was like, if he's coming out like this, this series is about to be ridiculous. But no.
And before I go to you, Doug, I have to mention his partnerships with Quentin Tarantino. Two people that are cinephiles, to put it lightly.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to say, movies back in the day, I think there was still that push to see what they could do with a camera on set, like what, how they could push it. And then, and obviously nowadays people are still doing it, and then they're pushing CGI more and more and more, which, you know, they, their vision can come to life in CGI, but I think that's, it's different from what you envision and you can just make happen versus what you envision and that you can actually do, and you can actually make that shot. And like, of course, budgeting and stuff like that.
Sure. And I like that, as far as just to talk, you know, effects and stuff. I like that there was that, like, we could do that. And then, oh, you actually need artistic vision and detail. Let's take it back and do some practical real quick. Then, has that French Warner film come out yet?
The zombie one?
I think so.
Yes, I think it's on Shudder. We haven't watched it yet. Okay. I think I read kind of bad reviews, so I kind of went off. But I do want to watch that. There was another one.
So glad you brought up.
Oh, we watched the Samurai Warner.
Oh, that one was
that one. That was funny.
That's another one. But not a trilogy.
I know. I was like, yeah, well,
just as he points out, the Tombstone poster. That's
another movie right there. Mm.
So I think I only have one more trilogy on my list that we haven't covered.
Cool, go for it.
This one's kind of like a, I don't want to say a throwaway, but it's not normally talked about when you talk about like big trilogies. The Naked Gun trilogy.
Yeah, I have that here too. Fuck yeah. Hell yeah.
22 and a half, so, and then 33 and a third.
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing my research and I'm like, hell yeah. I love those.
It's coming back.
Is it really?
Liam Neeson.
Is it really?
Yeah. That's the guy to do it. Honestly, like,
yeah, deadpan delivery, just goofy.
Which you've seen him in other roles. Like, he popped up in Ted, and he's like, "No, this cereal says it's for kids."
Oh yeah,
I'm obviously not a kid. I'm an adult.
I feel like
there'll be authorities coming after me.
I feel so like today's audience is they're not going to like it.
Here's the thing. I don't know how it's going to be received, but we've gone dry with these types of comedies. Like, I want it back again. Like, the Wayans are back in with the scary movies. You know, I think we've all been hungry for it. And I don't know. It may be a very niche audience.
Yeah.
But I've been wanting it. Like, one of the Farrelly brothers, one half of them, made a movie that went straight to streaming called Ricky Stenicki.
Oh, that movie's fucking great.
It's fucking hilarious, right?
Movie's fucking great.
Remember when movies were like that? They're just completely outrageous. So, you know, we don't know that we've been missing it.
But that's still entirely different than Naked Gun and like the airplane movies and stuff like that. Like, those were just ridiculous, fourth wall breaking, just stupid, like
completely wacky.
There is a show, I don't
Hot Shots.
Think it's streaming.
Those are good. I wish they made a third of
parodies.
That. Yeah.
There is a show. What's Quincy Jones's daughter, Rashida Jones? It's called Angie Tribeca, And it's basically like Police Squad, which is the show that the Naked Gun movies came from. And that it's highly meta, very winky at the camera, famous actors. I mean, Alfred Molina plays like the kind of like the morgue tech science guy, you know, in the lab. So like those things do exist, but like I said, I think it's a niche audience. Yeah. So it'll hit. But I you know, I've said it before, like I like when properties or movies or media is like, no, this is not going to be for everybody. This is for the people that are actually going to enjoy it.
Yeah, which, yeah, hopefully, and hopefully that's the budget that they aim for. so they don't consider it a flop, right?
Well, like, yeah, Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I just, like, in today's world, you know, we're so geared to analyze everything and check for this. I saw someone, this is a complete tangent, I guess. Someone was recently talking about the Kendrick Lamar and Drake beef. And they were saying how it's like, yeah, the fans kind of ruined that because instead of just focusing on like the cool rhymes and the great insults, it was like, this isn't accurate. And like, they were trying to break it all down. It's like, no, it's actually about a cool rhyme. It's a cool rhyme that pisses somebody off. People. Like that's how a beef works. And I feel like you look at any media, any movie and stuff that comes out, there's just this like need and desire to break down everything. And then it's like if you do a movie where they literally walk like in front of the like behind the camera or something like that, I think people's brains are gonna break down.
Bringing it back around to trilogies, like that's why I think like John Wick worked, is because it was such a step away from the highly impossible to the very probable and realistic way that he's clearing rooms and doing his judo.
Yeah,
he knows his judo well.
Bullets with a suit.
That's the fourth one. And I was like, what the fuck? Everyone's got a fucking bulletproof suit, but like,
he knows his judo well.
Stupid. Slipped it in there. What I know on your list, you had what movies deserve a trilogy? Anything at the top of your mind?
No.
I don't have anything either. I wish I had more time. Because it was a great list, and I was like, I don't have time to prep that.
I know what series I wish would have only been a trilogy.
Okay.
The Underworld with Kate Beckinsale.
I mean, they do.
Yeah, I was going to say, how many movies did that go?
Six of those movies.
Yeah, they started popping them out. Yeah.
To me, it only exists as three.
A lot of those Rise movies of the Lycans.
Three would have been a great... Yeah. They could have easily told... And again, they could have stuck to the Star Wars formula, and I think it would have been amazing.
Lycans, more like don't Lycans.
Nice.
So let's land the plane right there.
Real quick, video games. I would say Warcraft 1, 2, and 3, I think set the stage for RTS.
God of War 1, 2, and 3.
God of War 1, 2, and 3. Yeah, I think that, like, there's a few video games, like, trilogies that probably deserve a shout out. Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3, I think, are like the gold standards of 2D side scrollers and stuff like that. So,
Metal Gear Solid 3, Metal Gear Solid Delta, August 28th.
Yes, yes, it's coming out.
They finally dropped a release date for that.
I was going to say Metal Gear, but we got a fourth one, so. Damn, I fucking.
Yeah, and that's the thing with video games, is very few of them stopped at 3. Very, very few of them like told a complete story within 3 or anything like that. So, anyway.
All right.
That's a good place to end.
How's everybody feel being back for the third season? Because when we came back for the second season, we're like, okay, we're doing it, we're starting it. I didn't feel, you know, the celebration. I didn't feel the excitement.
For this season? The celebration of us.
Yes, why not? The first season, we had a fucking, you know,
a party.
Fucking great party.
Well, I was going to see if you guys wanted to go out this weekend.
I can't.
But you're like, yeah, you're busy. Fuck, everyone's busy.
What am I doing this weekend?
Yeah.
No, we got
party. I'll be in San Diego.
Partying? We don't party. We're 40.
I mean, they would have like have that level of party.
There'll probably be some alcohol, but I don't know.
We'll get some cake and a couple shots.
I do actually enjoy. I'll speak for myself, Jermaine. Is I do enjoy hanging out with you guys without a microphone in front of my face. You know what I mean? So, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah. It's totally great. It's totally fine. It's amazing. No, but we should probably get together for a little celebration, because I am excited to be back here.
Yeah.
If you are listening, the three of you at this point, two maybe, we have changed up our format a little bit. We are going right in.
But it's this season.
I'm absolutely excited for this format change. I think the hype attack was just a little too girthy in our first two seasons.
I've never heard.
It's a lot. It's a lot to swallow in one shot. We're doing almost 2-hour episodes.
Yeah.
Some people don't have the bandwidth for that. And I'm one, absolutely one of them. Like, I'll listen back to our own stuff, and I'll be like,
Rogan,
wow.
Rogan can do 3.5 hours.
They really should have landed this plane a while ago.
Well, yeah. And
we'll be more punchy.
I'm excited to get right into the topic, because, again, I think if people are looking to actually hear a specific topic, it's nice to be able to get right into that. But we are going to save the end of the show for similar to how we began the shows in the past with what we hyped about or anything like that, or what anyone has to say, or if there's a rant or something new that they want to promote or whatever. Like, I feel like it's a good time to do it at the end of the show, but we're going to try to be a little less lengthy and girthy and
so, you know, actually
hitting you deep in the nerd.
We do want to like spin off what we're hyped about, your nerd news or whatever, into its own little segment. And we're going to be experimenting with that. So,
which, by the way,
forward to that in the socials.
Because I do a second thing, a whole separate podcast, but also movie reviews, because I, you know, my little corner was a movie corner, and I now do a podcast and reviews with my wife, and it was once Forehead Films, and sorry, Rudy, for having you make this mat that has at Forehead Films.
Jackass.
It's now at YHST Pod, where we do movie reviews on TikTok and Instagram. So, like, that's what I've been doing since our break, is just kind of, like, figuring that shit out, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, so when we get to talk movies like this, like, I really get excited because it's, you know, it's my world.
It's your wheelhouse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I always wanted to ask you, too. When you did start, you know, earlier, I was like, man, he is taking on a wide look. I was like, why are you doing so much?
So he could take on a wide load.
You got to stretch.
In between the smile and sad face, I could take a lot. No, I mean, originally, because, like, you know, your guys' knowledge is, like, so much more vast, and I was just only, but you do it well, and mine is only in the movie world, but barely. And so, you know, I wanted to acknowledge that I don't know a lot about movies, but I enjoy them, and so that's why the other podcast I do is called You Haven't Seen That, because I have like 170 plus movies on that list that people ask me the question, you haven't seen that?
Is it really up to 170?
It's like 175 now.
Jeez.
And now you guys have talked about like the Man with No Name and Conan, so like I'm continuously adding more.
Have you not seen the Conan movies?
No,
get the fuck out. Jeez.
But it is why, well, that show,
that's gonna be a movie night.
Kill his mic.
But it is exactly why
his mic or him.
whoa. But it's exactly, damn it. Never mind. Why at YHST, anywhere podcasts are found. That's why I do the shows, because, you know, I want to be more cultured. I want to learn.
Oh, yeah. No, we are absolutely having a Conan viewing party. Yeah. For sure. Shirtless.
Well, like, I was
glow sticks optional
for like a year and some change.
I will rent a camel that we can punch.
I was doing,
was that the first one or the second?
Stop spoiling it.
Sorry.
Shit. I think it was the second.
I was doing like actual like full movie breakdowns, because I wanted to get into all the little bits of it, and it was a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of killing the fun for myself, and then we started just having like conversational movie reviews, which have been a lot more fun. Those are really short and really punchy with segments and stuff, which is different from this, which is more conversational, and I can kind of like, you know, rely on you guys if you're just like with all the knowledge. Otherwise I have to like have a whole list of things here, but that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been hyped about lately.
Right on.
Nice.
Yeah,
guys
at YHST Pod.
Nice. Good plug. We need like the Batman butt plug hive attack, like whenever a plug happens. I still go back and forth between like making a video game, some sort of video game content somewhere. But
over the break, what have you guys been up to?
Fucking nothing. No, I've been playing video games.
I absolutely took my time off and like just walked away from everything, and like I'm watching TV, I'm reading books, I'm doing other stuff besides thinking about content. But now that I'm back, like I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
The switch is flipped.
You knock the rest out.
And I want to, I want to do stuff.
Yeah. We bought the teleprompter towards the end of season two. But same thing. During the break, I was, part of me was like, oh, I should be making it. I was like, nope, I'm taking the break.
It's good to put it down and walk away and do other stuff and then come back to it fresh.
Yeah. Today I made a new little wallpaper and everything like that. I was like I'm trying to trigger my creative mind again.
Trying to get them juices flowing.
That's why I was like continuing to do stuff, because like stop, I like enjoy the nothingness. I'm like, no, I have the to nothing. Keep practicing it.
Yeah. I have been Rachel's
trying to drag me into her bed rotting, and I'm like, I can't. Like, I have to like elbow crawl my way out of there. Like,
rot maxing is too easy.
So gross.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. I was gonna say I have been trying to play more video games. I want to spend this year trying to actually beat games and experience different genres and stuff like that. Because for a while, I've still stuck on WoW Wild's life.
Get him a fucking shirt already.
I'm gonna make a super cut of all these.
He's begging for it now. When's your birthday coming?
September 16th.
Yeah, it's near.
Yeah. It's gonna go by in a blink because I'm drunk. But you know, so it's been fun to like I finished The Last of Us 2. I cannot wait for the show to come out so I can start talking about it, because that mind blowing. Those two games, but that one, I'm with Jermaine. Fuck that bitch. I don't want to give it too much away because the show's gonna come out. I don't want to spoil anything. But like,
speaking of,
I think as soon as I did it,
go back to Purgatory.
Yeah,
to beat her up again.
Yeah. So I mean, that game had a photo mode, so I would get stuck in photo mode quite a bit, because any game that has one, I just get stuck.
Spider-Man.
Cyberpunk is still probably the best. And Spider-Punk, Spider-Punk. Jesus Christ. Cyberpunk, they even added more to the photo mode now. So like, I just want to uninstall the game because I don't want to go back to it, because I will not play it. I will just be in photo mode. But anyway, I did like during that boss fight, I took a picture in photo mode and then I sent it to Jermaine. I was like, I fucking get it. I fucking get it. I don't know if I kept my save right before like with you did. Pain. No, actually, I uninstalled the game immediately because I needed to make room. But
like, I think I like had like, bro, like the fire, like just thinking about that shit makes me want to get watery. But I
put that fire in your belly,
man. Warm. Like I
one Saba season.
Like I gave it to her so good at the end of that game.
Oh yeah, no.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Go to the first season where we talk about that. That's so fun.
When that show is over, I mean, well, unfortunately, though, I don't think they're going to finish the game story in this season, which is still going to suck. But like, I cannot wait to talk to non-gamers about that. And I know I'm years late to playing that game, but now that I've done it, it's like it's certainly, I think, going to be one of those moments that, like, of all the media options you have to tell a story, this one as a game, top. I think the example of how a game can tell a story better than any other media is that specific game.
And it's just a story, man. I know we go, you know, to talk about all these movies and, you know, like bad movies, good movies, and, you know, video games, bad or good. But man, The Last of Us, once again, if you can write a good story, get people, you know, attached to these characters, but also get that recipe right with the gameplay and just the way that everything flows, and, you know, the cinematic scenes, and then you go back into action and, you know, you go back into the cinematics. It tells a really good story. The Last of Us is probably up there with Metal Gear for me as it, like, my favorite video games of all time. Story wise, is the main purpose. Like, it just gives you kind of like everything that you want in a game perfectly too. So
yeah, and it's certainly a good argument for how, you know, every game doesn't need to be a huge open world game. Mm-hmm. It can just be like, play this game, play this story.
Oh, yeah.
Here's options how to do it, and here's some things. But the other game I just started is Lost Records. I won't go too much into it, but it's set in 1995, so the nostalgia is strong for me. You play as a teenager in 95, and just the music that's playing, I found a Magic Eye book. You know, the things that you used to see at the mall, and really dating myself here, and you had to cross your eyes or whatever to see it. Like, one of the first missions is like to take a VHS back to the rental store. It's like, oh man, I love the 90s so much. This is my life.
Nice.
But yeah, I'll probably do something else on that or talk about it later, because that game is awesome.
What would you get up to between the break?
Man, I've been working on a dream. I really finished my novel that I've been working on for ever, but I'm in the middle right now. I was probably, I don't know, maybe halfway done with it when we stopped, but for like those breaks, like I haven't been doing shit, but but that.
That's awesome.
And it's one of those things like where you start to understand and you get the love, you know, like how you like your like the your series that you like from other you know, creators and stuff. Yeah. Like when you get that, like with your own shit, like it's amazing. But it's one of those things like where I finished it, but I'm going back and I'm rereading it and I'm halfway through. I've made some minute, like little changes to it because I know the story, you know, ins and outs, like all the cracks and crevices. So when you reread it, because it's one of my favorite movies, The Matrix, like when you rewatch The Matrix and you go back and you're like, oh, they talked about Copper Top, you know, like, oh, that's the reference to the Duracell battery. You know, you get all these things that you didn't catch before. So when you go back and now that I'm rereading, I'm like, oh, I could fix this to make that have more of impact, because you start to, like, I'm telling you, like, once you get that groove, you're in it
now,
and you see, like, it's like a spectrum of just like, I can't describe it, but it's just one of those things that if you have a passion for something, you'll just, like, shit'll just start to line up, and you'll see, like, it's almost like
one of those things. You're not mailing anything
in. Like, I can just describe it as like a sculptor is sculpting like a stone, like that shit's already in there, you know, like he's just bringing it out. And it's one of those like where I wrote this story and it's like everything that I really wanted to put into a story, but it's one of those things, like as I'm writing it, I have moments like, who fucking wrote this shit? I'm like, oh, me.
Now,
I wrote that shit.
That's awesome.
Going back to the so cool. statue analogy, you know, statue's not without its cracks. How do you, as the creator of this, the novelist, the author, how do you look at it with a critical eye and not allow yourself to become precious about all these things? Well, you know what I'm saying?
Because, like how we, you know, watch movies, the shit that we love becomes our teacher, like our like school, you know, our 101 classes. Mm-hmm. So because of my journey from, you know, like in, you know, cartoons, you know, from like the 80s and 90s, you know, my Thundercats, you know, Ninja Turtles and all that, but, you know, gradually going into shows and, you know, like Power Rangers, anime, you know, new age stuff, Avatar, The Last Airbender, your video games, Metal Gear, you know, movies, Matrix, you know, you look at things and you can like look at your own story. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there's shit that you can like look at. You're like, oh, like you want to put that in there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're like, even though your heart is telling you like, you know, like, damn, that shit is, you know, like, it's more so for me.
Right, right, right.
But does it make sense? No. So then you just have to take it out.
But where did you learn that ability from? Like, is this your first novel? Have you written other stuff before? Because that sounds like something from someone who's, you know, written before.
Well, it's from, you know, listening to directors talk, writers talk, people talking about, you know, like their own journey with their stories. And I was one of those guys who used to watch like the DVDs, you know, about like the editing and the commentary and all that stuff. Like, oh, you know, like while the movie's playing, you're like, oh, what we really wanted to do here. Yeah. You know, and I was just like,
nice.
So you kind of get the feedback for all that stuff. And you know, in your head, like, you know, if it's a thing that you can put in there or take out and maybe leave it for later. But it's one of those things that you just have to kind of learn how to play with the story, and it's because I've had the story for over a decade. Like, it's not like a magical thing that just mm-hmm. happened, but I wrote like a very skeletal like script and, you know, whatnot, and then I kind of turned that into a novel, so that kind of made it easier. But it's just one of those things. Like I said, like, it's just, it became fun. Mm-hmm. Like, it was torturous just sitting there. Like,
don't you love that feeling, by the way, when you're creating something and mm-hmm. maybe it's work.
Yeah.
And then you switch the tone of it or mm-hmm. or how you're attacking it, and then it becomes funny. You go, oh, you shit, it was there the whole time. You have
to look at it differently. Like, regardless, it's still work. Like, it's discipline. Like, like, I watch stuff with Kat, and then when we're done, I'm like, I got to go to the Nook for, like, 3 hours, yeah. you know, the 4 hours, and then, you know, get my shit done, like, because, like, I really want to get this thing done. And
that's awesome.
That's amazing, dude. Well, congratulations.
So that's what I've been doing. But besides that, because I finally finished it, and now I'm just doing, like, a reread, I finally diving into The Expanse. I'm like halfway through the first season.
The logging. The betrayal.
I think Amazon just pulled like the first three seasons or something.
No, it's still on Amazon.
Is it all of them?
Yeah.
Oh, did they change their mind? Because they like,
no, yeah, because so, when we recorded, I looked it up and it was like that day.
Yeah.
It's I believe it's still on Amazon because I think I'm watching it through Amazon, but they have commercials in there now.
Oh, so maybe they were just taking it. Okay, yeah, all right.
So it's one of those things that you might have like three commercials throughout the
same 3 6-hour of it. Yeah.
Sometimes. But yes, I've finally gotten into that because there's been things that's been on my list, but like I said, like, I had to finish my shit first.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Yeah.
I've abandoned watching new series, unless it, like, takes me, you know, mm-hmm. by the nuts. I've been watching the Your Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man series.
Oh, I still need... Yeah. It's really good. The nerd shit, I still got to catch up on.
If it's, like,
30
minutes, I can do it. If it's any longer than that, I'm like... Yeah.
Oh, I did finally watch Bad Batch. I finished that... That ended so strong.
Oh, man.
That,
I feel like I finished the last
Omega. Season. Oh, yeah. No, that Omega. There's only the 3 seasons, yeah. and it was a long time ago. I finally sat down and watched the last season, and it ended so strong.
Invincible season came out, too.
To answer your question, there's a lot of nerd shit I need to catch up on, especially now that we're going to start talking about it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'll be up to you.
To answer your question a little bit to Jermaine uh-huh. earlier about, you know, re-editing or writing and stuff like that, I might have shared it with you guys. I saw an interview with Alan Moore, comic book writer of like Watchmen and, you know, a great comic book writer. And his advice was like, not only do you have to read good books, you have to read bad books.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like you read read bad books and you could recognize like, fuck. Like, all right, I'm better than this, or I can. And you could also see, you read a bad book and you look back and okay, why was this bad? And honestly, it'd be the same thing with like a movie. Like if you were trying to make a movie or a podcast, you know, you look back at a bad one and be like, oh, this is really bad. Okay. So like, I like that kind of advice of, you know, not only like aspire to be certain things, but you can also look at something and be like, okay, I need to not be this also.
I think that's why it's so fun. Like me, I've been watching like 2-3 movies a week for the past, you know, like 6 months is like, I force myself to watch the things that maybe aren't as exciting. And when you actually do see a really bad one, you're like, yeah, but it wasn't that movie. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, we're very critical about... Although I did go on, like, a 2.5-minute review on Captain America Brave New World, but... Because I care.
Nice. I really hope someone is listening to this podcast as, like, a bad one, and they're going to hear me say that, and be like, oh!
Hey, practice, we're not bad. We're practice good. Makes better, and that's our light. It's nice to be back again. So let's land this fucking plane. You can find us at The Hype Attack on Instagram and TikTok. And if you're only listening to this, once again, we are have full video episodes, so you can see all of our happy-ish faces.
Tired,
satisfied.
Satisfied.
Season 3.
At youtube.com/ the Hype Attack podcast, right?
Yeah.
Until then, till next time, same hype time.
Same hype channel.
Out of practice. Hype Attack. Woo!